Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Wreck, Bweebum, featuring XV.
And I don't know why we're featuring XV, but we are. This is Radio Free Cybertron. I'm Brian Kilby.
I'm awesome.
Yeah, I'm awesome too. I need to turn that little thing off. Hey, okay, so because I have it up, I might as well mention it. If you could, we're going to try to bring back our PodTrack survey. Go to tfradio.net/survey. If you're watching the video, you see it right there. That's where it is on my screen, people watching me and pointing right there. tfradio.net/survey. Fill it out. It's like 5 minutes. It will help us out. You want to help us out? Fill out the frickin' survey.
Yes, sir.
It's important. Like, really.
We pseudo cuss at you.
Yeah, I will fake cuss at you.
tfradio.net/survey.
I'm sort of putting... There he goes.
And we are going to keep hammering that away for the next 3.5 weeks, so...
Until you do it.
Yeah, exactly. So please. Okay, so with me this week, J.D. Church, Peter Van, also known as Bweebum in some circles, XV, and John DeLuna. John recently has power. So congratulations, John.
Yeah, I know. Sad. Sad.
And there's a problem with this call, so I'm going to go to my video here.
You ran out of power?
No, I ran out of internet.
Oh, it was the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the internet is not infinite. No.
Yeah,
sometimes it has a diesel fuel, so.
It does have an end, and at the end, there's Care Bears.
I saw it.
Yeah, and XV is having some issues, but he is back! XV.
Well, it looks like he's having some Skype problems as
well.
Yeah,
he's got AT&T'd. So, this week, this is, the 25th anniversary of, this week is the 25th anniversary of Transformers the movie. It came out in August, 8th? 1986? So, we are celebrating that momentous occasion. Yeah. We'll be talking about that later on in the show, but yeah, just letting you know.
Tease.
Oh yeah, that's what we're talking about this week. My God, JD, what are you doing?
This is Ultimate Optimus Prime. I'm putting him in his ultimate mode here.
That is so ultimate.
Everybody, let's show JD our apathy toward a new toy.
Thanks, yeah. XV.
Meh.
And I will simultaneously show off mine here. Let me do that if I can.
Okay, now that is awesome.
I gotta pull this back.
Oh, thanks, XV.
It's
a G.I. Joe. It's not even a Transformer.
Oh, yeah.
But look at that packaging. That's great.
It's enormous. I don't know how big I thought it would be, but it's bigger.
It's way bigger. It's awesome.
Well, it's a huge G.I. Joe vehicle. Of course, it's bigger.
Yeah, so the Sky Striker's pretty big.
It is pretty big. I love it. It's awesome. And there you go.
Do you unpack it, or you keep it in the box?
I've already cut open the plastic, tape. I just haven't... I literally got home and started editing podcast stuff so that we could start the show.
Missiles.
I didn't sign on until 20 minutes ago, so... Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, so people listening to the podcast, that was Sky Striker Starscream. I just assume everyone watches, but obviously by my numbers that I see... You don't, so please watch the podcast so that you don't miss context.
I can see how it'd be more convenient in some situations to just have the audio version.
I don't watch video podcasts. I listen to podcasts, but I don't watch podcasts. But you should, because it's awesome.
We don't watch videos, but you should.
Only if I have absolutely nothing better to do, I'll go and watch Fanboy Versus as it records.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's just so I can sit here and feel superior, because I'm not sitting there talking about stupid comic books.
Exactly.
Makes you
feel like a big, strong man, doesn't it?
Yeah!
Okay, so, Masterpiece Rodimus is appearing at Toys R Us stores all over the U.S. now. AllSpark has a comparison gallery between it and the Takara version on their Facebook page, and admittedly, I haven't looked at that, so doing that now. Wow! That is a little different. There's some color differences I see.
And, you know, I actually kind of like the colors on the Hasbro one better.
Wow. And, of course, I do like the... God, I keep wanting to say Firebolt, but I know it's not Firebolt. It's,
Offshoot,
yeah. Yes,
means.
Repurposed name. Yeah. So, offshoot. Quite nice. He's a stocky little fellow. He has lots of attitude. I like that. Go to AllSpark and check that out. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, there you go.
He's got swagger.
Okay, let's...
those of you on the video.
There he is.
I gotta say, I am a sucker for the dark boots on the Japanese version.
Yeah, I guess so.
I kind of like that. But they're both nice.
Well, I mean, okay, the toy was specifically engineered to make that possible, and then the Hasbro version goes and makes all the parts the same color, so that's kind of... That might be a little bit of a flub on...
Oh, holy crap, I do like that a lot better now that you mention it, the Hasbro version.
Broken versus not broken, right?
I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, in the case of the breaking, that Takara is supposed to be re-releasing it with, I guess, the improvements made for the Hasbro release.
Are they going to give me one that isn't broken?
Almost certainly not.
Son of a...
No, but you can buy the new one.
Yeah, okay. And that will probably only be, like, you know, $280 this time.
Yeah, feel free.
I really do like the look of the Hasbro version because, of course, he has the G1 stickers that Hot Rod had. That's really nice, actually. I really want that.
So, wait a minute. The one on the left is the Japanese.
Left is Takara, right is Hasbro.
So, can we trade the arms out? And, like...
No.
Yeah, I see that. The arms are different.
So it's like, hey, you get really cool legs, but you get crap arms. Sorry.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, that's
weird.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's weird.
I honestly wouldn't mind gutting mine, really, because I really don't care. It's such a crappy toy.
Why was the Takara version black, though?
You mean?
What? Why were his shins black?
Oh. He's card
to match the animation model.
Dude.
Yeah.
And I guess the Hasbro one's more in line with the toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I hate the black outlined flames on the Takara version.
Don in the chat just told me that he was going to be in nearby tomorrow, and if he sees one, if I want one, and I had to tell him that I've already spent my allowance.
Yeah, but look at that awesome Sky Striker box you have for it.
Yeah. No, that wasn't the allowance. That was under the table.
It was a nice tie back to that because that box is really awesome.
It is. Let me again share that.
I mean, it's like the King Grimlock box from the Takara release.
There you go. It's lovely.
The Hasbro one, the way they colored the silver on his face, he looks so much older.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't like that as much either. Honestly, but
yeah, it does kind of age him a bit.
Yeah.
Does it come with both heads?
What's one head? It's two different faces.
Does it do the head swap though? Is that
I'm certain it does.
I believe it's functionally identical to the other one.
I don't see why they would remove that. I mean, that would require a remold, like a seriously.
Oh, okay. No, I do see there's different shots of the different head. Okay, there's one with the
there's just no trailer.
Rodimus head. Well, it definitely does make the Rodimus head look older, but I don't know about the Hot Rod head. It's not so bad on Hot Rod.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Okay. Jumping ahead, the first guest for SlagoCon 2011 was announced, and it'll be Gary Chalk. Yay! I'm definitely going to try my best to be at SlagoCon this year. And, you know, I have to say, XV on the video, his video is frozen, and he has, like, the nicest smile. Look at that.
I must have had gas when the video froze.
It's great. But yeah, so I'm definitely going to try to be at SlagoCon, but since I've obligated myself in a good way to SavCon 2012, I may have hitched myself to that train and ride that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to make it to SlagoCon this year. I didn't realize that it's like, you know, 2 months from now.
Yeah.
I probably can't pull that off in time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, talk about it. Just find a hitchhiker.
Oh, and by the way, Sean has put us on the flyer for SavCon 2011, so we are officially a feature of SavCon 2012. Pardon me, I keep saying 2011. 2012.
Ah, fantastic.
That's,
so we're obligated.
Yeah, we have to go now.
That's a lot of pressure.
That is a
How
lot of pressure.
How far is Savannah from Nashville?
6-7 hours, maybe? I don't know.
Whee!
Yeah, it's about as far as it is for me, I'm certain.
It's not as far as it is for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I would imagine not.
So I haven't had a chance to look at this, so I'm going to pull this up real quick. It looks like there may be a McDonald's-themed Optimus Prime coming to Japan. What?
That's yes. what it looks like.
That is...
And the trailer is being retooled to hold the little transforming food toys.
So, okay, so I had to think. The Pepsi Prime that came out in 07... was the trailer completely new for that? I have it, or was it repurposed from something else?
No, I think that was a new piece. We could always consult the wiki.
Yeah, I have it, but I've never really bothered to check and see if the trailer was completely new or slightly remolded from something. Because I could see it being part of maybe a trailer that was from something else and was heavily modified or gutted, so...
Something else designed to carry a Pepsi bottle?
Well... I said heavily modified.
I wasn't sure how heavy you were talking about.
Speaking of Pepsi,
I mean, Pepsi Max. It's fantastic. For like Coke bottles or something, and they heavily modified.
It would reject Coke bottles because that would be like a Decepticon, of course.
Right.
Coke being God. Evil.
Gibra, why don't you tell us your devotion to one?
My heart belongs to Cheerwine, of course, but
and look what I have here.
You are a Swirl XV. Yeah, I can't. We can't actually see you.
Sir. Oh crap.
There you go.
Wah, wah. Oh, am I back now?
Yeah, you're back. Okay.
Okay, here.
And you're frozen. Your internet sucks
nice.
So bad.
Awesome.
We completely missed that. That's fantastic. I love it. Okay. So, despite Hasbro having their own cable channel, Canada still got an episode of Prime out first this past weekend. Yeah. Everyone watch it?
I watched it.
I got home late, so I watched half of it, and I didn't see anything happen, so I assumed that nothing happened in the episode. So
yeah, pretty much.
Yes, fantastic. So we'll talk about that here in a couple of minutes. I added this news later on this afternoon because I got this in my email, and I got excited. Hasbro Toy Shop is giving away Creon Optimus Prime with Transformers Purchase, so go check that out. That's pretty cool.
Oh, man, I needed – that would –
I would actually buy something I already have to get that.
Well, there's so many things you can buy though without having to do that. But I mean, with any purchase,
Transformers purchase,
that's awesome.
That is pretty awesome. And if you held off, like you could have gotten that. Didn't you get? Didn't you use your $30 credit
a couple weeks ago? Yeah. I mean, it's several weeks ago. I had free shipping at that time though. So
yeah. Creon, I think a Creon trumps free shipping.
You think so?
I do.
I could.
No, I kind of dispute that.
Screw you, XV.
There's a lot of. I could go buy something off the shelf for cheaper than the Hasbro shop, you know, specifically to get the Creon. But if there's something else at the toy shop that I want.
That's awesome, Peter.
I
love
that. So.
I should have gone to BotCon just for that.
I could get one of these little Human Alliance figures. That Ice Pick would be something to
buy. I have Ice Pick, and I have his Human Alliance figure. And
is it worth it?
No? He's okay.
What I want, though, actually, is I want some of these Cyberverse, because the cool thing about this Ultimate Optimus Prime is all along the trailer, it has, like, along the top, it's got the little clip-ons. So,
very cool.
Yeah, so, like, I already took my Power Glide and, like, clipped it on like he's hanging onto the trailer. It's kind of cool.
Nice. Hey, let's go ahead and jump to our JD Mustache status. JD, show us the... It's gone.
It's
now part of a goatee or a Van Dyke, as it were.
It only took me like a week. So,
for you watching last week, you'd know that JD grew a luxurious mustache just for the show.
Yeah, just for the show. That's exactly what it was.
So,
no.
Fan-frickin-tastic. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the TF Wiki Spotlight. We're breaking the show up a little bit differently this week. Basically because I wanted to. So let's go ahead and jump to the TF Wiki Spotlight, and we will be back right after that.
It is time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight. We do that most weeks. But when we do it with Chris McFeely. What do you have for us, sir?
You do it when you can track me down.
Yes!
Nail I have only floor. Got a short one for you this week. Okay. It's a little short one, but it is an odd one. It's going on. This week's TF Wiki Spotlight is the Beast Wars Diorama Story. And I'm doing this one because Intero Bank's been working hard this week, splitting out one large article into a collection of individual ones for the individual chapter and episode pages. A couple of screenshots thrown up there, summary of the events of it and whatever. Now, this was a short, you know, to be honest, calling it a story is a bit of a stretch. It was a series of still dioramas taken with Beast Wars figures as videos with a couple of, like, crappy special effects superimposed on it. Included on the DVDs, which were packaged with the Beast Wars Telemoka reissues in Japan. Why is it significant? Well, JD, let me ask you a question. Were you aware that Beast Wars had a crossover with a live-action movie?
No.
Well, now you can find out about it. Yeah, that's the thing that happened. The timeline from the 2007 publication that charts the entirety of the Japanese cartoon continuity considers it canon, and it happened in the Beast Wars diorama story, which is why I have chosen it for this week's TF Wiki Spotlight. Not going to tell you anymore. I'm going to leave you to go and read about it, because, like, seriously, crossover? What the hell?
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Voici le monde de Chronoform, la montre robot qui peut se transformer. Elle devient une station de combat. Elle devient une navette spatiale, un char d'assaut cosmique, une créature solaire, un robot et plus encore. Chronoform. La machine a marqué le temps qui se transforme, le temps de le dire. Chronoform, dans les tons or, noir et argent, de Takara, vendu séparément.
Superhero time, Power Rangers, Masked Rider, Super Sentai, and lots of burning justice. Check out Superhero Time at tfradio.net. Superhero Time, here we go.
Yes, head on. Head on. Head on. That's English. Well,
head on.
So this week, for the guy, you're not, since you're not watching the show this week, instead of using, oh god, I usually use one of the G1 bumpers, I went with Headmasters this week. And, strangely enough, I went with Headmasters in actual Japanese, instead of the, head on! One from the dubs.
Applied directly to the forehead?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Head on.
Yes. Okay. So... JD, comics.
Yeah.
What happened with comics this week? Amy's out. Amy is going out, to auto-assembly. So I failed to mention that. I am such an awful host, but I got home like 15 minutes before the show started. Amy is out. She is headed to auto-assembly, so there you go.
Yes. Stay safe, Amy.
Yes.
So I'm not Amy.
You're not Amy.
But I did read 23 for Transformers Ongoing.
Was it good?
It was interesting. So I got caught up on 22 and now read 23. This is, of course, the Road to Chaos, which I guess starts next month. So, sort of, I mean, not to go point for point, but I mean, it kind of follows off of the same off of last issue where, you know, Megatron had been incarcerated, and Optimus is trying to decide what to do with Megatron. Most of this issue is flashback. Flashes back to the first time basically Optimus and Megatron had met, when Megatron was still a lowly worker and Optimus was Ryan Pax.
Didn't we see this in War Within?
Probably.
But
it's a little bit of a different story, because what this kind of goes into is a little more of the political, in terms of, I mean, basically what's being set up is this concept of how corrupt the Senate was at the time. There's a lot of plays on liberty and the sort of, you know.
So is it heavy-handed social commentary?
It is a little bit. I will say it does seem to be a little bit topical, I guess, would be the polite way to put it. You know, there's a lot of mention of the terrorist and revoking of certain freedoms to...
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings.
Safety. But, you know, there's other cool, like, action moments in here. Optimus rides one of his dead soldiers. So that's interesting.
Wait, did you say he rides one of his dead soldiers?
Yeah, he has like two officers that are working for him out of this, you know, security station that he's at. And basically what it is, in the last issue, Whirl had attacked Megatron when he was a prisoner. Basically just, you know, tortured him and beat him up when he was a prisoner. And so during that,
I am just derailing this. I am so sorry.
I can't even think.
We're talking about freedom, and freedom isn't free. It costs folks like you and me, and I just had to salute my Uncle Sam, sing him a jig. Sorry. Oh, I just threw it in the other room. There you go.
Thanks, Brian.
You can
anyway, he has two security officers that are working for him in this district. Whirl had been arrested by Orion because he was torturing Megatron as a prisoner. And in retaliation, these other, like, higher-ups basically killed his officers and decapitated them, and then attacked Orion. And in the ensuing attack, Orion was trying to get out of a sort of cornered position, and he used the carcass, turned it back into a motorcycle thing, and rode that out to attack the guys and beat them up.
That sounds great.
You know, in some context, that would actually be kind of badass.
Yeah,
actually, it's much more badass than I make it sound. You really have to.
When you just come out of nowhere and say that he rode the body of one of his dead soldiers,
sounds,
you know.
Yeah, but in context, it's kind of cool. There's a full like page panel of him like breaking through and stuff. But yeah, no. So it's but yes, there is a lot of political stuff in here. I mean, Prime like drags Whirl, you know, into the Senate chambers and like throws him down and gives this big speech, and Megatron had this manifesto, and Optimus sort of posed the three questions to them, you know, to the entire Senate, you know, basically on Megatron's behalf. So you kind of see that really a lot of, you know, what the link they're trying to make here is that some of Optimus's ideas about freedom and everything, you know,
are radical.
Megatron's manifesto, really.
Really?
And, yeah, which is kind of interesting. And, but it also makes mention here that, like, Sentinel Prime actually sort of handpicked Orion to be a Matrix bearer. Because there's a part here where Orion had been arrested and, like, unconscious after he'd been, like, beat up and damaged. And while he was offline, they actually retrofitted him to carry the Matrix.
Is this one of those hokey things, like, talking about how pure of heart that Kal-El of Krypton is, that he would have been a Green Lantern even if he hadn't been Superman? Is it one of those things?
I wouldn't say that. No, not at all. Not at all, I don't think. This is more... I mean, Orion makes mention that, you know, he really isn't very superstitious, doesn't believe in the spiritual aspects of everything, and really that, I mean, this is more about, I think, a group of senators, and in particular Sentinel here, seeing opportunity within someone to sort of change the way things are. So I don't know. I mean, and I don't know how much that's going to play into what's coming in terms of chaos, you know, or how they're going in that direction. But it definitely does kind of change things. It doesn't, you know, there's this concept that like the Matrix was meant for Optimus, but this would imply that he was much more handpicked by the powers that were there rather than, you know, sort of chosen by the Matrix itself.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of it
demystifies it.
It kind of does. It really. I think in a way it does. It really. And actually, what it really it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, what the two things they do here is they imply that that Optimus was handpicked for the Matrix, but they also talk about how the real power of the Matrix is actually the Creation Matrix. So they're sort of tying the Leadership Matrix and Creation Matrix together, not unlike how it was done at the end of the Marvel run, but they're kind of making the point that that's sort of a hidden ability of the Matrix, of Leadership, rather than a sort of inherent thing. So It's interesting. They're kind of retrofitting and reorganizing some things. I don't dislike it. But I will say, yeah, in the middle of this issue, there's a lot of preachy kind of, you know, social commentary that does get a little heavy-handed. But the rest of the stuff is pretty good. So
I want to apologize to you, JD Church, for bringing out the Sing-a-Majig while you were doing the review of the comic.
I understand it's Transformers ongoing, and I'm not usually very excited about it either. I will say that having read 22 and 23 now, 22 was good. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like, you know, IDW's gift to humanity, like it was hyped to be, but it certainly was a very solid issue, especially for a Transformers issue. So,
awesome.
I actually put Transformers on my pull list today in my comic
book. Wow, that's saying a lot.
Thank you for enduring the reading.
Yeah. No, this was actually good. Like, I didn't feel like I was – I didn't – you know, but
this was actually good. JD Church of Radio Free Cybertron.
This is of ongoing. I like banging my head on the table. By the time I end of this, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good.
I want that on the cover of the trade. This was actually great.
Right? It would be like
quoted. I felt like banging my head on the table, JD Church.
We need to leverage T-Former's relationship with IDW a little bit and to get ourselves on the covers like Ender and Amy now, I guess.
Yeah,
that would be great.
I felt like banging my head on the table. I'm sure they'll love to put that.
So now I'm a little paranoid because I just realized that my Twitter feed has been feeding into my Facebook, and I try to keep my Twitter self a little more wild and crazy and my Facebook self a little more reserved. So now everyone on my Facebook page knows I'm streaming a podcast, and I'm kind of antsy and worried.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Whoa. Delete.
Delete. Yes. So, hello, Grandma.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic. Let's go ahead and jump to the next topic, which is the discussion of the new episode of Transformers Prime, which I didn't watch.
Yeah.
So, I'll put up the spoiler warning.
It was an episode that happened.
I really like this plot when there was an episode of Stargate SG-1.
is this...
And actually, they did it twice in Stargate SG-1.
Nice.
We have brought out the Transformers Prime spoilers.
The repository of ancient knowledge is downloaded into a character's head. Sound familiar?
Yeah, no.
That's basically it. I mean, you know, a couple of things which you kind of knew. Miko's annoying. And not only that, but she causes more problems than she fixes.
Miko should go away. Miko should be like the...
She should be a Decepticon, really.
Really, she is.
Like, she totally did the Decepticon, like, near one solid favor, nearly two.
Yeah.
Haven't seen the episode, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. Miko needs to die.
Yeah. She needs really to be shot down over the Sea of Japan.
Just so the beginning... At the beginning of this episode, her and Bulkhead are hanging out watching monster trucks, and then they get a call that, you know, the MacGuffin is being looked for, and so they're not going to go help out. And then, of course, distress call. You must help with the MacGuffin. So Bulkhead goes, and then, of course, Miko, you know, sneaks behind because she can do that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was kind of Ratchet's fault because he tried to make her do work.
Right, yeah. So instead of doing work, she ran off into the middle of the fight, almost got killed instantly. Then she tries to, like, open the cylinder, and in the process ends up getting Bulkhead almost killed. But the cylinder opens up and beams all its information into Bulkhead's head.
Ah, so that's what that was. I had it on mute when that happened.
Yeah, so, of course, Bulkhead has all this information. There's a couple of cool references. Like, they're watching the monster truck rally, and they mention that there's these, you know, they refer to the trucks as beast machines.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's an evolution revolution.
You and Don are, like, synced together.
So. Nice. They're trying to figure out how to get stuff out of Bulkhead's head, and they try to make this really dumb deal with Megatron, which is that They need this. Megatron stole the cylinder, but it's empty. So they need the cylinder to take the stuff out of Bulkhead's head and put it back in the cylinder. So they make a deal with Megatron where they'll take the stuff out of Bulkhead's head and put it in the cylinder and give him the cylinder back full.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a good idea.
That's smart.
And you're missing the part that is causing the conflict, which is that part of the information from the cylinder is a way to make artificial energon.
Right.
So whoever has control of the information can have a limitless energy supply.
Right. Free energy.
You have to keep that in mind when Prime is bargaining to give the canister back after they put the stuff
instead of saying, well, Bulkhead is just going to have to die so that we don't have to lose, you know, the universe to Megatron.
When the Stargate SG-1 thing, that was also a plot element of that. If they didn't get the information out of the character's head, it would kill him too.
Nice.
And that's what's happening at Bulkhead as well. So they're in the middle of making this exchange, but Miko's more concerned that Bulkhead doesn't remember her. Like, that is her primary concern. Not, like, getting Bulkhead well, or not, like, you know, making sure the Decepticons don't get the formula or whatever. Her concern is that Bulkhead doesn't pay attention to her. So she drags Bulkhead out of the base, which alerts the Decepticons to where he is, nearly gets him killed, and herself, and then he goes into a coma and she wakes him up with a guitar. I don't know what else to say about this episode. There's cool references. He mentions Perceptor and mentions Beast Machines. That's about it. Other than that, I wanted Miko to die a horrible, mangled death.
Wait, is this the only episode that you want Miko to die a horrible and mangled death? Or
every episode.
No, I would say this is probably the worst one for that.
I mean, like, how is this character even redeeming? Like, her own selfish desires nearly got Bulkhead killed twice.
She's cool, with a K and a W.
Yeah, and, like, the capital and lowercase. Like,
yeah,
okay.
No, she's, like, with a pipe and a greater than.
Yeah.
Or less than. Yeah, so that's how awesome she is.
Yeah, Elite Rocksore.
Yeah, exactly.
So where were the other two for this episode?
They didn't get paid for this episode.
Where was Jack? He could have like totally been like, Miko, don't do that, and bitch slapped her. But no,
he'll just say, Miko, don't do that, and she'll be like, I'm gonna do it anyway, and he'll be like, fine, and then he'll go with her.
But the thing that's important in this episode is that Ratchet's around, and he's still awesome.
Right. Ratchet, Optimus, and Megatron all had decent amounts of dialogue in this episode. There was I would say that the dialogue was well written, which was sort of bad. Like, the plot was terrible, but there were some good lines, you know, just sort of like banter and stuff back and forth that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Some joke lines.
Yeah, and I mean, Megatron actually exhibited a little bit of personality.
Yeah, that was
which is really uncommon for a Megatron that's not a Predacon.
Yeah.
Very true, very true.
Not great, but, you know, it was an episode. It happened.
Okay, well, sweet.
It was a MacGuffin episode, again.
Okay. Fantastic.
Well, for the quality of this episode, it's perfectly suitable that Canada got and we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't regret not watching this episode in full. I may actually not finish it, so.
Yeah, you're not going to lose out on anything.
I mean, it's not like this is going to be a major overarching plot point. I mean, there's only been, what, two episodes that, like, seem to link to each other?
Yeah. And we've only got, like, two episodes left in the season.
Two plot points. So,
two major plot points. Mech exists, and Breakdown has a patch eye. That's about it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much two episodes right there.
That is. Hey, John, what's going on in chat this week?
A couple
John,
things.
Be careful first, which element of the chat you relate this time.
Oh, I'm relating this one. The one we're talking about right now. So, okay, so I got a question for you guys. That's the Jack RC relationship.
It's Daniel and RC all over again.
Is that as weird as it seems to you guys?
Yes.
You're implying that RC is actually a female, whereas really she just sort of looks like a female.
Oh, so it's a trap.
That's not what I was thinking, but okay. It's interesting.
Oh, that's gross.
There.
Why is that gross? It's just
what being a trap
just happens sometimes.
All our
viewers
who are traps, you know,
we've all been there, right? I mean, you're at that college party, and you know,
oh yeah,
that's right.
That's when you pretend and just go, "Oh, I'm sorry," and then you leave.
On a related note, wasn't the Prime like Jack's mom? being attracted to Prime.
That's even weirder. I've got it. That's
weirder
worse.
And random and
that's
like, uncalled
worse.
For and just kind of there to make us squirm.
Oh, God. All I can think is that YouTube video from... Oh, God. No, make it not.
Yeah, okay. So...
Think of it.
Oh, no. Yes,
that's it.
Purge, delete.
Yeah, purge that.
Okay, the other thing is that I think is probably pretty interesting. Okay, so we're gonna get season 2 of Prime. What kind of cameos do you think we're gonna get? I say if we get Unicron, then we're gonna get kind of like a string of kind of 1986-ish cameos.
I don't think we're gonna get cameos. We'll get references because again, the character models are too hard to build.
Yeah. Well, who do you think may be worth the investment of a character model? So who do you think would get Prime?
Cyclonus.
Actually, or maybe Scourge, because they can reuse that as the sweeps.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you'd see a lot of them. Yeah, I'm for that. I would say probably a Galvatron and sweeps. That's probably a good call.
And that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
That's models, you're solid, you're done.
But I want a Galvatron that's separate from Megatron.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I mean, I think it's very unlikely.
How awesome would it be if they go like the end of the Marvel run and they do the alternate reality Galvatron? It's like, that would be sweet. Mm-hmm.
You don't
have to screw up this Megatron. You just pull him out of another pocket universe.
And you let them screw each other up.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be excellent. Oh, man. And then they'll fuse. They should just do the end of the Marvel run. I don't know. What am I talking about? They just need to do that. Just do Matrix Quest and call it good.
Done. Absolutely.
Fuse. All right. Megatron and
right.
Come on, that would be awesome.
And that is your week in chat, gentlemen.
Fantastic.
And I also need the chat to vote on how awesome Ultimate.
Remember, chat, show your apathy.
Chat, let's vote. Which is more awesome? Let's put this on camera. Which is more awesome, Ultimate Optimus?
Oh boy.
Just rig the whole thing.
Or
Sky
Striker Starscream.
Or my glass of cheer wine. Which I can drink.
Or
I'm going to have to vote for this glass of cheer wine.
Mm. Cheer wine is pretty great.
Thank you. There's a vote for Robin.
That
ducky.
Was one vote. Are you kidding me?
Who else voted? I don't see another vote. One.
See? Yay, rubber duckies.
See, there's another ultimate. Okay, there's three.
Okay, so JD, what's going on this week in history?
Chat has no.
Anyway. And this is completely unscientific poll. What's going on in history?
Yes.
Well, August 10th, 2006, Kiss Player Toy Line kicked off with Convoy and Melissa.
Haven't we already done this one before?
I think we did it last year, and it's worth mentioning every year because Kiss Player is...
You know, this is we're well into our second year of this week in history, so good chance there's going to be some reruns now and then.
Some reruns. I mean, I was describing Kiss Players at my comic book shop a couple weeks ago. You should see the terrified looks. Guys in the comic book shop, they were like, what?
Besides, Kiss Players is one of those things that we have to make sure we remember so that we can't ever let it happen again.
Right. We must remember the past so as not to repeat it. Also, would like to mention that it is Derek J. Wyatt's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Derek J. Wyatt.
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday, Derek.
Fantastico. Okay, awesome. If you hear a crying baby, Kim has borrowed a child for a few days, so it's...
Borrowed.
Is it the local library?
Experiments.
Yeah, I was going to say, how does that actually work?
It's a borrow a child program at your local library.
It is.
They're starting to use those as experiments nowadays.
It is, totally. So let's go ahead and jump to Crave Corner, and we will be back with this week's topic, Transformers the Movie.
It is time once again for the Crave Corner, as we do here on RFC, and we have back with us Cole. How's it going, sir?
Hey, guys. Going well. How's it going?
We're doing well. So, what's going on? We got a new month.
We do have a new month. It's August. Lots of stuff going on. We've extended our new buyer promotion for $5 back on your first purchase one more month. So it's the summer of savings on Crave. And then we've also launched a new seller contest for the month of August. From August 1st to the 31st, the top three sellers in each marketplace are going to get themselves some cashy money.
So nice. And that's both marketplaces. So you can compete in Transformers and in Star Wars.
Yeah, separate contests.
Nice.
Three winners in one marketplace, three winners in the other. Should be good.
And that's Amazon Cash? Is that what...
It is Amazon Cash, but Amazon has everything, so we call it cash.
It might as well be cash, right?
So. It is, yeah, exactly.
It's mostly cash.
Yeah, and then we got our featured series this week is Beast Wars. So we're sending out press materials tomorrow morning with a bunch of featured listings on Beast Wars, and we'll also be sending out another release on Saturday. So for you sellers out there who still haven't listed your Beast Wars stuff, do it by Saturday, and you'll get some pre-promotion by us.
Sweet. Very nice. So that should be good. And so then it's a great time, of course, then to buy Beast Wars.
Yep.
Because you get the money, you get, you know, $5 for your first-time buyer and everything else. So nice. Mm-hmm. Good deal. So so what's hot? What's going on? What's what items you got?
We always
have
new stuff. New listings. The Legacy of Bumblebee that I was talking up last week finally went.
Ooh.
After 3 weeks and I think like 40 good prices. Someone finally snatched that up. Good
wow.
win. Good
nice.
Win. Yeah, we also got some. We got a $15 Leo Prime in box that just went up. I think that's. I've always thought that was a pretty cool Transformer. Five good price boats on that. $20 Lugnut Voyager Reveal the Shield. Five good price boats on that one, too. What else we got that's hot right now? Oh, Warpath. Warpath is super hot right now. We got one for $17 in package.
Nice.
There's a lot of good deals happening this week.
Yeah, those are still kind of hard to find, I think.
I snatched up my Warpath probably 2 weeks after it was released, and I think I paid almost, not twice that, but at least $10 more. So I think that's a great deal.
Let's see.
I might have got Shanghai down.
I mean, it all depends, you know, if you want it.
I mean, yeah, it's buyer's
early.
Market. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, good deal. And there is some, looks like there is some new Beast Wars stuff up as well, Tarantulas and some other good stuff. So,
I think they've got every single, someone posted all three Beast Wars Optimuses. There's a Transmetal, the regular, and then the Optimal as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I do see that Primal as well. $40 is not bad for that original Optimus Primal either, so.
The only thing that's missing is the instructions, too.
Well, that's even a better deal, because, you know, that's not too bad to transform.
Plus, I think those ones are online. He's old enough.
So, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Good deal. So, all right. So, there you go. So, you got $5 if you're a first-time buyer on Crave, which we recommend you do. For the rest of August. So, that's a great deal to get in on. I mean, some of these items, you know, I mean, that's going to cover shipping, or it's going to cover, you know... Sometimes you get, like, the item and shipping. You get a $5 item. That's basically for free.
Yeah, they're definitely, like, the Legends sell for pretty low prices. So you can get a great deal on, a RTS Legends class guy or something else.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, again, and that promotion, top tier is, like, it's $100 in total prizes for sellers. Is that what, or is it...
First place in the seller contest is going to get $100, second place $75, third place $50, and that's same on both marketplaces. So first place for Transformers will get $100, first place for Star Wars will also get $100.
And I can't mention again, it is so easy to list those items.
So easy.
I mean, seconds. You can't.
Yeah, we're not lying when we say seconds on all of our advertisements.
Yeah,
it's
seconds
away.
Literally, no reason if you've got a bag of stuff or box of stuff that you want to sell, get it up there. It'll go. Awesome. Good deal. Well, anything else? We got to check it out. All the Beast Wars promotions this week. So,
yeah, first round's going out tomorrow, last round on Saturday. So get out there and list.
All right, get it in. All right. Well, thanks a bunch, Cole, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Cool.
Okay, so
Irish baby.
I have to report that my singamajig is dead.
Oh, no. Did you record the time of death?
I can go back and watch the video when I threw it.
Okay.
That's what...
Yeah, because the clock is not my fault.
Okay.
When he jumped across the house, time of death.
I mean, it's not like I don't have five more, but...
Okay, Kilby, good tip for you. Don't throw the baby that you're babysitting.
Right.
Off the
room. Oh, God. The baby starts sabotaging something, don't throw it.
Yeah, Singamajig is no more.
No.
He's still it's sad because he still like mouths the words. He just can't do it.
Oh man. I need a cold shower.
I'm sorry. Okay, so let's move from a sad moment in history to Transformers the movie.
Transformers
1986. This is the 20th anniversary. 25th. God. 25th.
Not
anniversary.
The 20th.
25th anniversary.
As was reported earlier today.
Yeah, 25th.
Oh, yes.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, it was on the post. It said 20th.
Well, that's awesome. 20th. 25th. I'm awesome. So, 25th anniversary of Transformers the movie this week. I could probably talk about Transformers the movie for the whole show. Probably the whole day if I had to, but I think we're going to go about 5-10 minutes. So, what can we squeeze into 5 or 10 minutes about Transformers the movie? It's probably the most defining... It's the most falsely defining aspect of G1. It's how everyone remembers G1.
Right.
But
even though it had
nothing to do with G1. I mean, it did, and it didn't.
It had the same characters, and it had similar animation models. But it really comes in the middle of you know, season 1 and 2, and then 3. And they're nothing alike. You know, the episodes are, like, fun, happy-go-lucky, you know, for the most part.
Movie came, death! Death! Death!
Death! Death. Explosions and fire and consequences and just...
Consequences! Just... Adult themes.
That's awesome. I like that. I like consequences.
Yeah. And then, you know... You go through season 1 and 2, and Optimus is playing basketball, and they're, you know...
Optimus was completely disassembled and survived.
Right,
and
exactly.
He was rebuilt into a freaking alligator.
Right.
And,
first 10 minutes of Transformers the movie, Ironhide gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
You know?
In addition to other...
And he didn't get a...
Right. Yeah. In addition to other people getting shot, blown up, fire coming out of their mouths, you know...
Meanwhile, Braun just gets grazed on the shoulder and stays down for the rest of the fight.
Exactly, he was knocked unconscious.
So he played dead.
Yes.
Yeah. Braun is like, "OS, this is serious. I'm not going to get him."
Yeah,
you guys are here.
Play dead, and then the whole thing blows up, and he's like, "Well, damn."
But okay, so Transformers the movie. It was really a sort of a turning point.
It was the greatest movie ever made.
It was, according to Amazon.com and all the reviews, it's the greatest movie ever made. But you know what? My favorite review ever was Citizen Who? Transformers the movie is the greatest. This was a serious the greatest movie ever. But the thing is, I deride it. I give it so much crap. But I've watched it like 500 times.
It has to be the movie I've watched the most in my life.
I talk so much crap about it because I love it so much. It's not a good movie.
No.
But it's a good Transformers movie, kinda. Most of it.
Sort of.
If you take the last 2/3 of the movie, everything after the Battle of Autobot City is great.
Yeah.
Everything before that. Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it is a good Transformers movie when you have the live action ones to compare it to. You know.
Oh, yes. We use this as an opportunity to hate on the live action films. But yeah.
Well, I also could be potentially hating on the animated one at the same time, so.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But I mean, it's a like I said, for a 90-minute film, it's, you know, in Transformers. It's fun. It's interesting. I think in a lot of ways, though, it was a defining point for Transformers, and maybe what helped it last a lot more is because the film, I mean, having a live, you know, not a live, but having an animated film in the theater, like, broadened the, you know.
Well, the movie is actually kind of like an analog or an allegory for the series. It starts off as this Earth-based thing, which G1 is very much Earth-centric, and it moves into this sort of bigger space story. And the last half, 2/3 of Transformers the movie is really all about what's happening out there in space and on Cybertron. And it really adds extra dimensionality to the Transformers universe, where originally it's just, you know, all these capers that are happening on Earth. It might as well be Scooby-Doo, but instead of being a guy in a clown suit with a mask, it's Megatron in every episode.
Well, you know, for part of season 2, they were out in space and on other planets too.
Yeah, a little bit. Like a quick trip, you know, it was like a jaunt out.
Yeah. I really do like Transformers the movie. I like it a lot. If I didn't, I couldn't have watched it as many times as I have. It's one of the few movies that I can quote word for word while watching, and I kind of hate myself for that. So, but
yeah,
you know,
in fact, I could probably start right now and go.
It's been a couple years since I've watched it from start to finish, but I guarantee you, watching it, I could definitely, you know, pull it off.
Not even watching it, like really, I could just sit here now and probably spout, like probably transcribe the whole script.
Okay, first line was Orbitless, look, it's Unicron. Is that...
Well, no, you're going to start with the narration. It is the year 2005.
Actually, that's after the... That's after...
Yeah.
That's after that, JD.
Oh, is it... Oh, okay, yeah. No, you're right.
So, yeah, it is.
See, I can't even do that.
So you fail.
I fail at life.
But, okay. But, yeah, so Transformers the movie, it's cliche as can be. It's basically an archetypal hero story. It pretty much lifted... badly from Star Wars. Anybody disagree with that?
I don't know about that. I mean, to say that it lifted badly from Star Wars, I don't think it was that much of a...
Epic tradition of Star Wars, I mean,
Well, I mean, that was the way they PR'd it. But, yeah. I mean, it's really a much more basic hero journey than... And that, I mean, but that speaks to
Star Wars. I think that most people really say that it and Star Wars drew from the same kind of inspirations.
Right, the same kind of hero saga. So, but that was big. I mean, that was still kind of popular around that time. I mean, you know, in terms of being familiar with Joseph Campbell and his work. So a lot of writers were influenced by that, you know.
Was Transformers the movie ultimately a good thing for the Transformers or a bad thing?
I think it was definitely a good thing. I don't think it would have the wide appeal that it does now without it.
I think you have to look at it in two different ways. I think, one, it probably helped kill the Transformers as a property in the 80s. But it's added lasting value. So, I mean, if it wasn't for season 3, I wouldn't be a Transformers fan.
Well, and if not for the movie, what would people remember of the G1 cartoon now?
Right.
The G1 cartoon would be remembered about like the G.I. Joe cartoon was. And the G.I. Joe cartoon is fondly remembered, but it's not voraciously like loved like Transformers is.
Yeah.
So then what's the difference though? I mean, G.I. Joe had a motion picture as well, and everybody's like, oh yeah, that's something that happened.
Yeah, it went straight to VHS.
Oh, did it go straight? I thought it was in theaters.
Straight to VHS after Transformers finished in its first weekend behind Howard the Duck.
Ah. Yeah. Well,
my video disappeared, so I am removed from this call.
But
so.
Howard the Duck was a good movie too, sort of.
I have a quick question.
That's the show this week.
Ask away, Peter.
Quick question. So, how long did it take for them to make said
movie? Make Transformers the movie?
Yeah, like
3 weeks
production.
Well, I know they started work like early in the process of doing season 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't
that's the reason they didn't have characters like the aerial bots, the protector bots, and things like that.
Right. Yeah, the script was finished before all that. Yeah. So.
Okay.
But they did have Perceptor, Blaster. I mean, so basically at some point in the writing process.
Okay, so when did Rocky IV come out? Rocky IV came out in what, 84? Because Rocky IV is what landed Vince DiCola the gig for. Came out in 85.
But music is always done late and last, right?
Yeah, it's done later on. But I mean, it's not. They still have to lay the tracks down and everything.
So, yeah, he did it synthesized. He probably did that like with. He probably had like 10 pounds of heroin and like did that. And like,
I mean, they still have to put it in the film and edit it in and everything.
I'm totally making that up, by the way. I don't think he does.
I don't think he does heroin anymore. So, I'm kidding.
Was a joke.
It was a joke. But I think ultimately, going back to what I was saying, I think the lack of Optimus Prime, and I hate to say this, but the lack of Optimus Prime probably killed the Transformers as a property in the 80s.
Really? You think so? Like,
think
was
so.
Optimus that iconic even at that time?
I sobbed. Like
I think it had
baby.
To do more with season 3 sucked.
Season 3? Kiss my butt, JD. Season 3 is the only good thing that G1 has going for it, but it wasn't that way in the 80s.
Brian, all due respect, man. Season 3 looks... I don't care about the story. I'm just saying it looks terrible. It really...
You know, actually, certain episodes look great.
going to be an unpopular opinion, probably, but I actually like the visual style of Season 3 more than Season 1.
And look at Call of the Primitives or Return of the Optimus Prime. Those are the best-looking episodes of the series.
Name the, like, two good episodes out of that season.
Of course, you can also name, like, The Killing Jar or Carnage and Sea Minor or something.
Right, yeah. Okay, there you go.
And Web World do stand out to me for how they look.
Yes.
And not just because The Killing Jar has crazy colors.
Right, but Carnage and Sea Minor is
Especially bad.
But I don't know.
I think
a couple of things. One, I think that when the line went away from recognizable vehicles, you know, which is what happened going into Season 3 when it became unrecognizable things, and also the...
As a kid, that excited me more, actually, because I didn't care about the recognizable vehicles. I liked the Dinobots.
Yeah, but there's a reason... Right, Brian, but there's a reason that we still love this stuff. Because we're nerds for it. We like it. If we're talking about the wider appeal, you know, you look to the things that happened...
Go back
after
to the 80s. No. Yeah, everyone is trying to live in the future.
Point here where... The thing that made Transformers notable to begin with, where you take a little model car, essentially, and turn it into a robot, you know, when you got away from that, you started to lose what made Transformers to start with.
Right. And when you have a right, and it's like, oh, that's like the car that we drive, and, you know, now it's a robot. But
well,
when it's
not just, silly when it's Porsches and Ferraris, but or Lamborghinis.
Oh yeah, but hey, the Z, you know, the X, the Z7 or whatever those were, Nissan, whatever those were. Anyway, point being,
the 24SX.
There you go. Something like that.
Look at.
I don't know my foreign cars. All right, I buy Chevy.
What a man!
I'm American. All right, I buy American cars. Anyway, but no, and also some of it, too, is when they got into, you know, Season 3, they're talking about the American designs versus the imported designs for some of that stuff as well. So, I mean, I don't know. I think there's a lot. I think the Transformers still lives and dies by the toys. And I think that, you know, going into the 80s, the movie was great, but I think that the toys ultimately started to suffer.
I guess it's kind of hard to say one way or the other because... You wouldn't have the futuristic setting with Optimus Prime because he would sort of stick out like a sore thumb.
That's not bothered any of the comic book writers subsequently.
That's true. But he would have sort of stuck out like a sore thumb. But again, I really think that the lack of Optimus Prime is what killed it because he was the character that everyone associated with the Transformers. And he was no longer there. They scrambled and scrambled and scrambled to bring him back, and they finally did. They freaking modified G.I. Joe, the movie, because of the poor press and poor fan reaction to Transformers, the movie, where Duke was in a coma and actually survived at the end because kids were in such an uproar because of the death of Optimus Prime. Kids loved Optimus Prime. He was Transformers to those people. He still is to the people who were the average fan of today, the people who still fondly remember Transformers. They don't like Season 3 because Season 3 didn't have Optimus Prime.
I still say that whoever was over, like, design approval in the 80s, like, just... I don't know. They took something that was really great and they kept screwing it up, and then when it was bad, they just made it worse. I mean, when you get to the point when you have Transformers that don't transform...
Well, yeah, but then we're kind of getting away from what the movie did or didn't do.
Absolutely.
For it.
Right.
When you get
Pretenders and stuff like that, that's way beyond that. Go ahead, X.
Well, but what I'm saying is when they started to go, like, down the futuristic or, like, alternate...
Into space...
Right, it completely changed the concept of what they were doing, and then from there, it went
slippery slope. They kind of lost themselves in it.
Well, right. And you know, after 2 years of doing essentially the same thing, I can see where they would want to try to reinvent it, reinvigorate it, make it fresh again, and it just didn't work. No matter what, the more they tried, the more they were losing what made it in the first place.
Yeah, and. I think that you look at what Hasbro is doing now as compared to then. I mean, the figures have gimmicks now. I mean, like, we have Mech Tech now with the movie line, but ultimately, if you take the guns out, they're still the same. It's a transforming toy, you know.
Right.
They figured out that really what matters is it a toy that transforms? Yes, awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, they figured it out, and we're at a point in time since the original where the transforming gimmick is going to carry the Transformers no matter what else is going on.
Yeah, I mean, that the transforming gimmick is what's carried the Transformers for the last 25 years.
Yeah, I mean there's Beast the War... there's the history of it now, which is supporting, okay, these are just going to be transforming toys. They don't have to
It's a legacy now. I mean, it transforms, and that's
what it is. But they don't have to have, you know, human or monster shells that snap onto them, or heads that turn into little guys, you know. It doesn't need that kind of stuff.
I argue that they didn't. I mean, that's my whole supposition, is like, I don't think they didn't. I think if they just would have kept designing cool-looking toys, I don't...
They did design cool... Hot Rod is one of the coolest-looking toys ever.
Yeah, I mean, there was some cool stuff that came out, you know, 86 and later, just not a lot of it.
Six Shot's awesome.
We need another set of clones, though. That would be awesome.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Duocons. We need Duocons.
I love Duocons. That would be great. Okay, so Transformers movie. I think ultimately it was... You can argue either way. I think now fans can look back and say it was a good thing. It was not a commercial success. But that's because parents were paying for their kids to go see it instead of kids spending their, you know...
Yeah, and when you look in contrast how that went with how the 2007 movie went...
Yeah, night and day.
Yeah, I mean, if they had done that where the main story focused on the Transformers for the 2007 movie, it would have been the same thing all over
again.
That's true.
Yeah.
They had to appeal to a
wider audience. That's a really valid point. That's a totally valid point.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I've been thinking about recently, too, when I've been seeing, you know, people suggest that the fourth movie, like, not include human characters and focus
that
just on
fail.
The Transformers. Yeah, it would fail because there would be no appeal for the parents or even older siblings or anything like that, you know.
Yeah. That's lonely fanboys in a basement.
It's exactly. Why most, even the most offbeat aliens have legs and arms.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Once they start becoming goo, you can't.
Right, you can't identify.
You can't identify with them anymore. And human beings are hardwired to identify with things, or else they won't like it.
So the character,
right, and the Transformers movie has to appeal to the adult as well as the kid, or nobody. There's not going to be enough people to go see it to make it worthwhile.
I said I can talk about Transformers movie all day, and one of the reasons is because you can get lost in the weeds and argue about every single thing. So let's go ahead and try to jump to something else. The characters that it introduced, you know, there were fewer of them. Season 3 had fewer characters that were focused on, and they were a little more well developed. But do you think that the characters that were created in Transformers the movie are iconic and fondly remembered today, or are they characters
I imagine RC and Hot Rod are.
Hot Rod, but not
Hot Rod,
Rodimus.
Really?
Yeah, I think Hot Rod is iconic, but not Rodimus.
Yeah.
I love Rodimus.
Hot Rod, not Rodimus, yeah. Rodimus is always going to be known as the usurper or surper.
Usurper.
Usurper, thank you. Can't talk. I haven't had whiskey. You know, he's always going to be kind of known as the wannabe, you know.
That's sad, too, because as I rewatch season 3 from time to time, Rodimus seems to actually get more stuff done as a leader.
He is way more competent than Optimus.
He's far more effective until the end when they were, like, bringing Prime back. And
here's
then
the Matrix,
like,
buddy. You can take it.
Hot potato. There you go.
I think, though, the best characters introduced in Transformers the movie were Galvatron and Cyclonus.
Springer.
Screw Springer.
Yeah.
But no, Galvatron's another good example there, too, because everybody remembers Galvatron for sounding like Spock.
Yeah, well, you know, and people, for some reason...
Gee, I went away.
Galvatron in the movie was... for lack of better terms, a badass. I mean, that was his gimmick. That was the thing. He was the badass. In the TV show, he was actually insanely more powerful, but crazy. And of course, I love that. And I think Transformers the movie so much for giving me the Welker Galvatron. But that's neither here nor there. But I really like Scourge. I think Scourge is a really good character that was introduced in the show.
Scourge?
Yeah. Cyclonus, pardon me. Scourge sucks. Cyclonus.
Yeah, Cyclonus makes more sense. I was kind of wondering where you were getting the Scourge
thing
from.
I was just thinking of the red fingertips, and it sort of got me stuck there on Scourge. But yeah, so no, Cyclonus is a well developed. He's what Soundwave should have been.
Battered wife.
Yeah, well, Soundwave was this sort of loyal soldier, but you don't really get a sense of him as having an actual personality or a character or a sense of honor or anything. He's just completely two dimensional. There's a little more development to Cyclonus, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, and again, it's separate from the movie, but again, in season 3, I think it goes even farther because of his interaction, say, with Ultra Magnus, and of course, Webworld, the battered wife syndrome episode. I love Webworld so much. But neither here nor there. The music, we have to talk about the music. It features one of the worst soundtracks ever, but we love you, Stan Bush.
But so, yet, we remember it fondly and listen to it repeatedly.
I do!
Yes.
Yeah. And the Stan Bush stuff really is the best stuff, except for the Weird Al track, of course, which is the best Devo song ever. But
yeah. The best Devo song that Devo never made.
Yeah, exactly. But the Stan Bush stuff is the best original stuff from the soundtrack. It's the only thing that's really held up. Even though we use the lion theme every week, it kind of hokey.
I've been telling you that for years. Yeah. Get rid of the damn thing.
Spectre General, NRG, all that stuff. If you actually listen to it and not like the actual music, the words, you're actually kind of wondering why you're listening to it.
You can win if you dare.
Yeah,
you can win if you dare. I really do like the Stan Bush stuff.
Because you have the touch.
But I think they make an ointment for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Ooh.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Anything else?
Let the mind wonder.
The movie itself.
Be ever made. I'm just hands down.
What?
Hands down. Voice cast? I mean, you know.
Well, you know, the voice cast was the voice cast because they were trying to appeal to people who would recognize the names.
They added Eric Idle. They added John Machida. They added, who else?
Robert Stack.
Wells.
Robert Stack.
Robert Stack.
So good.
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson. Judd Nelson, who was, you know, part of the Brat Pack at the time.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. He wasn't bad. I don't think there's anybody who was bad at
Orson Welles. For Magnus a lot.
Yeah, Orson Welles. And that's something that got talked about a lot. Like, you know, something that we talked about years ago with Michael Bell is about, like, the Judd Nelson thing. You know, he's a film actor, and that's a totally different thing than voice acting. And so it's kind of like something you had to have a crash course in the process of actually recording the film. So,
yeah.
I don't think he did too bad for that part of it anyway.
I've kind of mellowed on my hatred of Transformers the movie, my simultaneous love/hate relationship with it. I'm now more at peace with the fact that I actually like it, but I will never, ever, 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 ever recommend it to someone that I know that isn't already a Transformers fan.
Right.
But I know people.
It's a good movie, but it's a Transformers movie.
I have never tried to force Kim to watch it. Actually, that's not true. But I've never successfully made Kim watch it.
Right, there you go.
And I will never, ever attempt it again. So, but all in all, I think it was a good thing for the Transformers. I think it's what makes people remember Transformers now. I don't think it has anything to do with the success of the new movies, but I think it probably kept if it wasn't for Transformers the movie and the nostalgia therein, there probably wouldn't have been like an early 21st century revival of G1, not in the same way that we got it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that the original Transformers movie is why Transformers is remembered now. The live action movies are going to be more credited with that. But yeah, I mean, for the up to that point, Transformers movie was a big influence on the direction things were going.
Yeah,
look at the Unicron trilogy where we got 3 years of Megatron becoming Galvatron.
We're red.
Yeah, Robots in Disguise before that, too. Although, you know, since that was Japan-produced originally, it's debatable. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wasn't even Galvatron.
Yeah, he went from Gigatron to Devil Gigatron.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not uncommon for characters like that in anime to
change.
Get random power-ups in the new form.
I mean, Transformers the movie featured a random power-up.
Yes, I'm just saying, though, that action in Robots in Disguise probably had nothing to do with
right. The Transformers. But it was convenient. It was the first example of that.
Yes. Yeah, the Hasbro localization of it, that counts at least, because they did do the Megatron to Galvatron thing. And I remember everybody being all freaked out and excited about that, too, when the episode aired.
But so I think we can actually safely say that Transformers the movie really is the best movie ever. It's better than Godfather or Godfather Part 2.
Easily. I never made it through Godfather. It insists upon itself.
It's shorter than Godfather.
It's not bad, but please don't try to force it on your significant other unless you're already married in a very, very safe relationship.
In a solid marriage.
Yes. Yeah, you want to be in a solid marriage or in a very, committed.
I guarantee it, your wife will not love it as much as you do. Or your girlfriend, most likely.
Mm. Or partner.
Or your boyfriend. If you're a girl, your boyfriend probably will like it.
Yes.
Because he'll remember Transformers as being quote-unquote awesome.
But basically, anybody who's not you, and I don't mean you specifically, Brian, I just mean anybody who's not yourself will not enjoy this movie as much as you do.
Yeah, right. So don't try.
I actually said to my girlfriend, I was like, do you want to watch this? And she more or less laughed in my face.
Awesome. That's awesome.
not having grown up with that, Peter, what do you think? You've been kind of quiet through this whole discussion.
About
the movie, Transformers the movie.
Peter, for that 2 seconds, you sounded exactly all right. Like thingamajig.
All right, Peter on the spot.
Peter on the spot. What does TFormers.com think of Transformers the movie?
Oh, oh man, represent. Slippery slope.
Well, my first
duck and dog.
My first exposure to Transformers the movie was my friend and I. I think we walked to a Suncoast.
Yes,
maybe it was a Suncoast. I don't know. Anyway, it's not important. But we were like, "Oh, sweet! Transformers the movie." This is when we were like into Beast Wars and stuff like that. And we were like, "This is awesome! We're gonna go check it out." So we bought it, took it back to my house, and we watched it. And we were like, "Whoa, this is crazy!" Because we didn't have any exposure to
Did you want it?
So we're like, "Wow, they just killed 15 people in a Daniel said shit, right?
Spike said it.
Spike said shit. We're all just like, what's happening? Yeah. This is awesome.
What are we going to do now?
Yeah. We're like, wow. We thought it was a pretty good movie. I mean, when I revisited the movie,
were you high at the time?
I was young though.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't answer the question.
No.
I'm certain I was about the same age when he saw it.
I guess being in public school, it's quite an age.
I revisited Transformers the movie at age 14. I watched it twice in one day, and I literally watched it every day for the whole summer.
Wow.
Once a day for the whole summer. So,
I think when I got the VHS, I just put it on loop.
Yeah.
I literally just played it, rewind, play.
I
rewind.
Think I mentioned this. I actually memorized the UPS tracking code of my Mallow film copy.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that before.
Yeah, I literally memorized that. So that
you know
I
what we should do.
Do you still remember it today?
It was 1ZA something, I'm certain, because they are all 1ZA.
Okay, so that would be a no.
No. I got it and it didn't matter because I just memorized every line. But yeah, so okay, I'm tired of talking about Transformers the movie. Let's go ahead.
But you know what we should put into the rotation, Brian?
What?
We should put the radio ad for the movie because the radio ad still gets me all
hyped
up.
I don't remember the radio ad.
It was the one where it was the preview radio ad, and it's Caroli talking, of course, and he says something in the summer of 1986.
Is that that's the PR video that was on the Laserdisc?
Is it?
Yeah, that was on the original. Okay, I was one of the people that really, really, really wanted a copy of the original Laserdisc. I actually got a Laserdisc player to get Transformers the movie. That's how sad I am. But the Laserdisc at that point was $400 or $500. They reprinted the Laserdisc, but it was inferior to the original release. It was missing some stuff, and I think the audio mix wasn't as good, so I didn't pick it up. But I remember, I think I bought a copy of or I was planning to buy a copy of a VHS copy, or maybe a Betamax copy of the of the Laserdisc to get the best possible reproduction with stereo sound. But that's where that came from, John. That's the
nice.
That's the thing. It features the Diaclone colors that were used in the promo footage, like Ultra Magnus as Powered Convoy and so on and so forth. So, but it's pretty sweet. I think we have used that. Sweet. We have used that.
Mm.
I loves it. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to Twitter Theater with
Rob.
Are you
not done with the show yet?
Yeah, we're still doing the show, but we're almost done. And I want to remind everyone. So, go to if it comes up. Go. Okay, tfradio.net/survey. Help out. Actually, don't do it after listening to this show. Do it after listening to a good episode,
an older show,
an older episode, one where I was actually prepared to do the show. So
yeah, well, whatever.
tfradio.net/survey, or actually do it after New Soundwave. Peter, you're raising your hand.
No, I'm pointing at the.
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh
yeah, I would point, but I'm actually not on screen right now since my other Skype account went down. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the XV was using his mind control powers to make you take the survey.
That is true. tfradio.net/survey. Help us out. It's free. Costs you nothing. And it will seriously help
except
us
your
out.
Dignity.
Except for a couple minutes of your time. Which you've already spent like a freaking hour and a half of your time right now listening to this show.
Yeah.
Do that now. Let's take it away to Rob.
This is Twitter Theater.
Hey guys, it's Rob in this week's Twitter Theater. This week I kind of picked another sitcom thing. I picked an episode of Scrubs. I'm sorry. Check out tfradio.net or tfvideo.net to I burped. That tasted bad. I need to shave. Check out tfvideo.net or tfradio.net /video, I think, to check out this week's Twitter Theater if you haven't seen it yet. Just like how last week's was a clip from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where Will's all, ooh, Transformers! This week's was from a clip from Scrubs where JD and Turk are painting a mural in the baby's bedroom, and it turns out it's Optimus Prime fighting Megatron. And, you know, Carl's like, I don't like that big ugly one. And Turk's like, oh, his name is Optimus Prime, and he wouldn't appreciate you calling him ugly. And JD's like, I don't know, he wouldn't. You know, it's a, you know, standard silly Clerks. No, if it was Clerks, it wouldn't be really that funny. And it probably didn't involve someone saying a curse word, and people would quote it for years to come for no particular reason. I'm kidding, I like Clerks. It's overrated. Anyway, Scrubs, which is also overrated in a lot of people's opinion. And, you know, it's a standard Scrubs type clip. They do something silly, and it's, you know, it's funny. If you like Scrubs, a lot of people don't like Scrubs. And, hell, the show's on every waking hour. Just turn your TV on, flip the channel, you're going to find Scrubs. This episode's probably on a station right now. What brings me up to clicking that one, or bringing that one up this week is, you know, last week I had said that clip caused, like, the fandom to be like, oh, Will Smith's a trans fan. You know, not the writer, but Will Smith's a trans fan. And it was all over ATT, and people still bring it up to this day. And by the time the Scrubs clip happened, we got so desensitized to seeing Transformers everywhere in the popular media that no one brought it up. No one cared. It's either people just don't like Scrubs, which would be weird considering how much it's on, or just we're so used to it that no one really brought it up other than maybe one guy on a message board, hey, it was on Scrubs, and they're like, yeah, high five. And that was it. Which is probably how it happened. But yeah, you know, it wasn't really the clip I wanted to use this week, but I couldn't really find exactly the clip I wanted to use. And that was, you know, Monday was the 25th anniversary of Transformers the movie. And there's a scene in the movie where, you know, where Hot Rod and Cup are held prisoner by the Quintessons and they're like fighting the Sharkticons and it's all NRG and what I don't want to take it, and they're fighting the Quintessons. They're really kind of doing okay for themselves, to be truthful. But, you know, the Dinobots come and rescue them. You know, they knock down a door that's conveniently at the bottom of a tank of water, which has become empty because of Hot Rod and Cup driving around in circles. The door falls open, and the Dinobots come out. And, of course, they smash one of the Quintessons, and actually, in hindsight, I think that door might have been above the bowl of water. Whatevs. Anyway, the door smashes down on top of one of the Quintessons, and Slag goes, "Excuse me!" You know, it's funny. You're like, lol. He said, "Excuse me," in a funny way. And the reason I wanted to show that clip is, you know, not just, you know, somehow related to the 25th anniversary of the movie, but there's a little bit of a urban legend among some fans, and I share this, and it's actually in the movie. It might be something else, but if you turn the volume up really loud, well, maybe not totally loud, you can actually hear it at normal volume, but turn it up so you can really point it out. Before that door comes popping down, you clearly hear a farting sound. And the joke is Slag saying, "Excuse me for farting." Now, this is not going to be on Snopes anytime soon. Maybe like a Snopes doesn't look up stuff that obscure. But they're going to look up Bigfoot in a Disney movie, but not the Transformers. But the door falls down. I mean, you clearly hear like a... And then the door falls down. And, you know, it's still passed around, you know, that Slag farted. Now, it could be just some sound effect of the fight, or the door's about to break, or whatever. Because, you know, it's not like the movie's not full of errors. But it's pretty damn funny that Slag farts and then says, "Excuse me." And not just, "Pardon me."
"Excuse me!"
You know, he's all obnoxious. He likes barbecue. Okay. Well, that was it for this week's Twitter Theater and this week's Easter Egg Twitter Theater, I guess, considering, I guess, Rob's commentary Twitter Theater. Whatever. I'll go back to guys. Apparently, my lack of sleep has made me a little stir-crazy. Or my stir-crazy is made for a lack of sleep. One or the other. Yeah. Okay. Well, back to you guys.
Oh, Rob. You're so crazy, Rob. Okay,
yeah,
so we are back. So
are we?
Yes, we are back. I don't care. So people watching live, you may not actually see us now, and you may. It's okay.
Okay, so if they don't actually see us now, then there's not people watching live.
But there are people listening.
On Ustream, they're still seeing us.
Yeah, they're exactly. The people watching us on Ustream will see us. People watching us on YouTube will see us. People listening to the podcast will hear us. So there you go. But, okay, so go to tfradio.net. We we'll actually link to this in the show notes. We, a couple years ago, did a fan commentary of Transformers the Movie. And we posted that today, so go check that out. It's fun stuff, and I think we go more in depth into the Transformers the movie than we of course can in a hour long podcast. So there you go. Again, go to tfradio.net/survey to take the survey. It's important. Do it, please. We would love you forever. It would be awesome. It might in some way help me pay for a new Sing-a-ma-jig, but it costs you nothing. But it will mean so much to me personally. So, do that. Anything else, guys?
What?
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Okay. Well, that'll do it for this week. We will be back next week when it will not be the 25th anniversary of Transformers movie. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates.
Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.